Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Shabbos Daf Kuf Lamed Aleph. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you're not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief formatted introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf before the shiur. We begin today's shiur 10 lines from the top of Daf Kuf Lamed Aleph. You'll notice a slash mark in the middle of the line following which it says Omar Rabbi Chiyo Bar Abba. Before we learn the Gemara, let's glance at the side where we have our topic introduction, our Nosei heading. And we've written Lo Lakoil Omar Rebbe Lozor Demachshirin Doichin Shabbos. We learned in our Mishnah that Rabbi Eliezer is of the opinion that not only is the actual circumcision Doche Shabbos, but even preparatory stages that are necessary to enable the circumcision to take place, included in which would be the manufacture of a circumcision knife, the Izemel, the special sharp knife needed for a proper circumcision. The knife could be prepared, and the knife, if it were brought to the circumcision site from Friday, it can be carried through a public thoroughfare on Shabbos. These are examples of machshirin, of preparatory stages in anticipation of the performance of a mitzvah which itself is done on Shabbos. Rabbi Chiya opens up our Gemara by telling us that this leniency of Rebbe Lozor is not across the boards. Not everything, not regarding everything, will Rebbe Lozor apply this leniency. We start the Gemara. Omar Rabbi Chiya bar Abba, Omar Rabbi Yochanan. Lo lakol Omar Rabbi Eliezer machshirei mitzvah doichen es haShabbos. Not with regard to everything would Rabbi Eliezer say that the preparatory stages are also doche, overrule, supersede Shabbos. Sharei shtei halechem choyves hayom hein. Shtei halechem were two loaves of bread that were brought in the Beis HaMikdash on the holiday of Shavuos. The Shtei Alechem are an obligation for that day, for the Shavuos day, and we're talking about a Shavuos that coincides with a Shabbos, for example. The Lo Lomdon Rebbe Lozor Elo Migzero Shava. Rebbe Lozor learned that the preparation of those breads can be done on Shabbos. He learned it through a word comparison with, we'll see later, with the Ktziras HaOmer. But if not for the Gzeirah Shava, even though you're dealing with a machshirei mitzvah, the preparation of those breads, you would not have been allowed to do that, to bake those breads on Shabbos. So we see that the rule that machshirei mitzvah doiches Shabbos is not something that operates across the boards. We have a bracketed section, and you can see through our bracket length indicator, the vertical dash dotted line, in this case to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text, this entire section we have in brackets. Following it, in order to maintain the logical flow of the Gemara, we skip the brackets, and the Gemara reads afterwards, Limute Mai, the rule of Rebbe Lozor that says that the concept of Machshir Mitzvah Deiches Shabbos is not across the boards. What is his intention? What mitzvah is he coming to exclude? of course, other than the issue of the Shtei Alechem, which he spells out, but in the case of the Shtei Alechem, in fact, their baking is Doiche Shabbos, but it's not because of the Machshirei Mitzvah rule. However, Rabbi Yochanan is telling us that there is an example, there is something else where the Machshir is not Doiche Shabbos. And we want to understand Limute Mai, the Gemara, that the question that follows the brackets is, what is he coming to exclude? Now that the structure is a bit clearer, we will go through the Gemara with the brackets, and on the side of our Gemara, we do have a starred note, the Heora, which reads, B'sograim Elu Muvo Hagzeru Shava Bein Oimer Ushtei Alechem. Within the brackets, the Gemara will present that Gezerah Shava that we alluded to. So now we continue the bracketed section. Desanya, Rabbi Elezer Omer, Minayin Lemachshirei Shtei Halechem Shedoichin Es HaShabbos. From where do we know that the preparatory stages needed in the preparation of the Shtei Halechem bread offering on Shavuos overrule, supersede Shabbos? Answer, Namro Havo B'Imr V'Namro Havo B'Shtei Halechem. The Torah uses a word that has to do with Havo, with bringing. So it uses a word dealing with bringing on with regard to the Omer, and also Havo with regard to the Shtei Halechem. Ma Havo the Omer B'Omer Machshirin Deichin Es HaShabbos. Just like the case of Havo, that is stated in the Torah with reference to the Omer offering. The Omer offering was a grain offering. It was a meal offering brought on the second day of Pesach on Tes Zayin Nisan in the Beis HaMikdash, and its preparation is Doche Shabbos. So just like that is a given, that is a known point, Af Havo Amura B'Shtei Alechem Machshirin Doichen Es HaShabbos. Whatever is necessary for the preparation of the Shtei Alechem will also overrule Shabbos. When we say that the preparation of the Omer is Doche Shabbos, we're referring specifically to the harvesting, the cutting of the Omer grains, of the barley grains needed to produce the Omer meal offering. The ktsira of those grains are done on Shabbos. The Gemara goes on to point out Mufni. Mufni means that the Gezer Shava, the word comparison that we make between these two topics, has in it available words. Mufni literally is available or free, extra words that are in the Torah for the sole purpose of our making this word comparison. De'i lo Mufni, if the words would not be extra, if there wouldn't be these extra words, then ika lamifrach, there would be room for repelling or undoing this comparison. And based on what? Ma la oimer shekein imotza kotzer kotzer. Tomar b'shtei alechem shimotza kotzer eino kotzer. There is a difference between the Omer and the Shtei Alechem. And once we say there is a difference, that could possibly be grounds for undoing the comparison between the two topics. What's the difference? The difference is that in the case of the Omer, the meal offering brought from barley grains on the second day of Pesach, even if you found pre-cut barley grains, pre-harvested grains, you nevertheless are expected to do the harvesting on that day. Not so. And when we say on that day, that means even if it were Shabbos, you would do the harvesting of those of the barley grains for the Omer, l'shem the Omer. Not so is the case with the Shtei Halechem grain offering. It's two loaves, but they come from grains. In that case, if the grains had been cut before Shavuos, you wouldn't cut new grains. You would use the pre-cut grains. So you can see there's a fundamental difference between these two offerings. Therefore, it's if not for the fact that you have available or extra Torah words, we wouldn't make a comparison. So the Gemara says, lie. Lie means in truth. Afnuye, mufni, there are extra words. Michti. And let's analyze this. Let's look into this. Ksiv, it says, Vehevesem es oimer reishis ktsirchem il hakayin. And you shall bring the omer, which is the first of your harvest, to the kohen. But yom haviyachem, two more words in the pasuk. Loma li, what do I need the words b'yom haviyachem for? Shma mino lafnuye. These are extra, and they tell me they're put in the Torah for the purpose of making a word comparison between omer and shtei alechem. Vakati, but still mufne mitzad echad hu. It's the in the Gezerah Shavah making this word comparison, we have extra words only on one side of the equation. The Shamina lay the Rebbe Eliezer, and we know Rebbe Eliezer, whose opinion we are analyzing right now, the Omer Mufne Mitzad Echod, the Maiden Umeshivan, that when you have two topics being compared through a Gezerah Shavah, and an extra expression appears only on one side of the equation, that tells me that you can attempt to compare the two topics, but meshivan means if there's a logical point or objection to be raised, the objection shall be raised, and thereby undoing the Gzera Shavah. So what is the basis, once again, of making the Gzera Shavah, the comparison between Omer and Shnei Alechem? The Gemara answers, Tavi'u, the word Tavi'u, which is found in the Torah, Ribui hu. It is an extra. It's come. It's an inclusive expression. And as such, even though it appears to be mufna mitzad echad, nevertheless, I am told to make the gzera shava through this ribui, this inclusive expression, and thereby compare the shtei alechem to the omer. And just like the omer is the machshirin are doiches Shabbos, so to the shtei alechem, the machshirin are doiches Shabbos. The point being that without this gezerah shavah, we would not have said that the machshirin of shtei alechem are doiches Shabbos, even though the bringing of the shtei alechem on Shavuos is only on Shavuos, and if Shavuos and Shabbos coincide, here we would have a parallel situation of the need for for preparing the shtei alechem, and without the gzera shavah, we wouldn't have done it. We wouldn't have allowed the machshirin of shtei alechem to overrule Shabbos. So the point of Rebbe Eliezer in the Mishnah that machshirei Mila are Doche Shabbos is fine and good with regard to Mila, but to say that is a rule regarding all mitzvahs, that is not so. The Gemara continues, well, Lim Ute Mai. What does the statement of Rabbi Yochanan before, when he said, Lo Lakol, let's just read that statement again. We have an arrow to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara, which can be aligned to the original statement above. Let's read it again just to get the flavor of things. Omer Rabbi Yochanan, Lo lakol omer Rabbi Elezer machshirei mitzvah doichenes haShabbos, sherei shtei alechem chovas hayom hein, velo limdon Rabbi Elezer elo migezera shava. So Rabbi Yochanan is telling us that the concept of machshirei doichenes haShabbos simply doesn't apply across the boards. So what is Rabbi Yochanan trying to exclude through his comment? As the Gemara goes on, we ought to note that this is essentially a long question, the question of what is he trying to exclude. The triangles that follow are explained in our Mivneh heading that you can see at the side of the Gemara. These are a sidra, a series shel nisyonis levarer, series of attempts to explain ma bo Rabbi Yochanan limuti. What is he coming to assume and to say? Limuti de machshirin shel zu eino doche. The machshirin of which mitzvah are not doche Shabbos. So we go through a number of mitzvahs, noting that each mitzvah is highlighted with a triangle. it's important, as we continue in the Gemara, to bear in mind that we're going to be returning to these mitzvahs when we get to Amud Beis. So let's continue with the question. If you were to think that Rebbe Elazar would exclude the preparation stages for the mitzvah of lulav, the hatanya, but we have a source that says lulav v'chol machshirov doichin es haShabbos divrei Rebbe Eliezer. Before we go further, we should make a point that from the Torah standpoint, the taking of the lulav, the mitzvah of lulav, when the first day of Sukkot coincides with the Shabbos, even though maybe our common practice is not to perform mitzvahs lulav, but from the Torah perspective, one is expected to perform the mitzvah of lulav. And what Rebbe Elazar is telling us in this source is that not only is the lulav doche Shabbos, but all the preparatory stages, imagine like cutting a lulav, which is essentially a palm shoot off a palm tree on Shabbos, he would allow that. So if you're going to say that Rabbi Yochanan is saying that, well, that would not be allowed, but that's not true. He says, Rabbi Elazar does allow the machshirei lulav to be doiche Shabbos. We continue, v'ela l'mutei sukkah. Maybe Rabbi Yochanan's comment above indicates that Rebbe Elazar would say that machshirei sukkah would not be doiche Shabbos, but that you can't say. The Hatanya sukkah v'chol machshirei doiche es haShabbos, the very Rebbe Elazar. If you were to need to cut, let us say, cut schach for building a sukkah on Shabbos, go ahead and do it. The Ela l'mutei matzah. Maybe Rabbi Yochanan was saying that the machshirin, preparatory stages for making matzah in anticipation of the Seder night, which falls out on Shabbos, would not be allowed. But that's not true either. V'hotanya matzah v'chol machshirei doichin es haShabbos divrei Rebbe Eliezer. V'ela l'mutei shofar. Maybe we'll exclude the preparatory stages for shofar. V'hotanya, that's also not true. Shofar v'chol machshirei doichin es haShabbos divrei Rebbe Eliezer. So what in the world did Rabbi Yochanan have in mind when saying that Rabbi Eliezer's rule or leniency regarding machshirin doesn't apply to all mitzvahs? Omar Rav Ado Bar Avo, Limutei Tzitzis L'Taliso U'Mezuzo L'Pischoi. Rabbi Eliezer will not allow a person to tie tzitzis to the corner of his garment, nor will he allow the preparation of a mezuzah for his doorway on Shabbos. The Gemara explains, Tanya Nami Hochi, we have a source supporting this. V'shavin, there is agreement, she'im tzietz talisoi v'osa mezuzah l'pisla shu chayov, that everyone will agree, even Rebbe Elazar will agree, that if a person does prepare tzitzis or a mezuzah on Shabbos, he will be chayav. He'll be considered in violation of Shabbos from a Torah perspective. And that's a total violation. My time off. So the question now is, why is this the case? After all, we have seen Rebbe Elazar to be so lenient up till now with regard to machshirei mitzvah. Why here is it not the case? So, approach number one. Omar Rav Yosef, lefi she'ein kavua lohem zman. Unlike the other mitzvahs, sukkah and lulav and matzah and shofar, which have calendar dates, they have fixed times, and if the time goes by, you can no longer fulfill the mitzvah. That's not the case with regard to tzitzis and mezuzah. They don't have fixed calendar times. Omar le Abaye. So Abaye responds with a logical objection, Adarabba, to the contrary, Mide'ein kavua lohem zman, from the fact that mezuzah and tzitzis don't have a fixed time, Kol Shaita, we're at the top of Amud Beis, Kol Shaita v'Shaita zimnehu, all times, all hours are its time. So that if you're allowing the violation of Shabbos for the benefit of things like shofar and lulav, because that is their time, well, it comes to tzitzis and mezuzah, all the time is their time, so you should certainly be allowed to violate Shabbos for their preparation. Ela Omar Rav Nachman, Omar Rav Yitzchak, Vitamer Rav Huna, Brei Rav Yeshua. With regard to tzitzis and mezuzis, the reason they're not doiches Shabbos is hayol ubiyado lahafkiran. Since a person could declare his house or his garments unowned, and in such a case, if you're living in a structure that's not yours, so then you're not even obligated to do the mitzvah. So since there's a way to extricate yourself from the obligation of those mitzvahs, tzitzis, unowned garments, and unowned houses are not obligated in their mitzvahs, therefore you're not allowed to violate Shabbos for their performance. Omar Mar. At this point, we go over that which we said earlier, and notice the elaborate marking scheme that appears on this omid as you scan down the omid. The first shape we want to take note of is the diamond. And on the side of the Gemara, under our Nosei heading, Sidra Shel Mitzvos Shemachshireha Doichen Eser Shabbos Lefi Reb Elozer. So as we scan down the Omid, you see in diamonds lulav, and following that you have sukkah, matzah, shofar, and finally at the very bottom is a unique diamond, a mila. All of these mitzvahs we already learned on Omid Aleph, their machshirin are doiches Shabbos. So we're going to go through each mitzvah, and as we go through them, you'll notice the double underline. Each time the Gemara will be asking, Mino le the Reb Elozer ha, from where does Reb Elozer know each one of these? That they're machshir ner doiches Shabbos. We're going to, from where does he know it? The triangles that will appear are explained, B'chol shlav mosifin es ha-mitzvah, the Gemara will attempt to explain how Reb Elozer knows it from a logical comparison to a mitzvah that we have stated previously as its machshir is doiche Shabbos. Now, as the Gemara unfolds, and notice the beautiful structure here, the number of triangles as each new mitzvah appears, the number of triangles will increase. Because at each point, the Gemara is asking, how does Reb Elozer know that the machshirin are doiches Shabbos? Is it from something we knew previously? So at the first stage of Gemara, the only thing that we know previously to the Lulav is the case of the Oimer and the Shtei Alechem, which we learned from the Gzeirah Shavah. The Gemara will say, well, maybe I can just make a Ma Motzinu, a comparison, a logical, as opposed to a scriptural, a logical comparison between Lulav and that which we already know. The Gemara, though, at each point will reject the logical comparison, and will have to come on to some type of scriptural reference. As each new mitzvah appears, the Gemara will go through the same exercise, but being that at each point we've included a new mitzvah, in other words, after we've discussed Lulav, we then find out that Lulav also machshira doichen Shabbos, just like the Omer and the Shtei Alechem. So then, that when we come to analyze sukkah, we'll ask the same question. Well, how do I know the sukkah, it's machshirin our doiches Shabbos according to Reb Elozer? Is it from Oimer? Is it from Lulav? And that style will continue each time, increasing the suggestions as we go along. Another structural point that you will see is highly repetitive in this Gemara. It appears in the form of the bow tie marking. On the side, we have indicated, Lefi Reb Elozer, Lama lo lichtoiv shedoichin Shabbos be'echod ve'nilmad mimenu l'sha'ar. Each time the Gemara, after the new mitzvah is discovered as being doiche Shabbos, the machshir is doiche Shabbos, will ask, why not let the Torah write that one mitzvah, and let me learn the other mitzvahs from it. And at each point, the Gemara will point out why I cannot learn one from the other. So in the final analysis, we're going to need separate sources for each one of these mitzvahs, that their machshirin are also doiche Shabbos, according to Rebbe Lozer. We tried to give a general outline of the structure of this marvelously designed Omid of Gemara. In all likelihood, it's still a bit vague, but as we go on in the Gemara, you'll see how beautiful and how clear things become. The Gemara, Omar Mar, Lulav v'chol machshirov doichin es Shabbos, Divrei Rebbe Lozer. This is a quote from that which we saw on Omid Aleph, that the Lulav and all the preparatory stages for Lulav will override Shabbos. As we gave an example, if the first day of Sukkot comes out on Shabbos, and you don't have a prepared Lulav, you can go, according to Rebbe Lozer, to a tree and cut off the Lulav for the mitzvah. The Gemara asks, Mino le the Rebbe Lozer ha, from where does he know this? What's the precedent? I me oimer ushte alechem. If you attempt to learn Lulav through a mechanism called Ma Motsinu, which is a logical comparison, literally just like we find by, in this case, the Oymer Shtelechem, undoing, we cannot learn from them. This is an undoing of that. Shikain Tzorech Govoa. When it comes to the Omer and Shtelechem, I can argue they and their machshirin are doiches Shabbos because they are sacrifices that are brought in the Beis Hamikdash, which the Gemara calls Tzorech Gavoa, something that's a heavenly need, heavenly requirement, which puts them on a higher level than Lulav. So how do I know the Lulav and its machshirin are doiches Shabbos? Ela Omar Kro B'yom. The Pasuk says, L'kachtem L'chem B'yom Horishon. And from the word biyom, instead of the Torah simply writing ulakachtem lochem borishon, which would have been clear in and of itself, and you shall take on the first of Sukkis, a lulav and its other minim, the Torah adds a word biyom, and we learn from this biyom afilu b'Shabbos, even on Shabbos. So the Torah says, take the lulav even on Shabbos. Now, the Torah is coming to tell me, take it. What do I need the Torah to allow? And in other words, this extra word, the word b'yom, is coming to teach me a leniency that I otherwise would not have known on my own. What is it coming to tell me? Ulamai hilchisa, regarding what about lulav is doche Shabbos because the Torah says so. If it's as far as the simple picking up of the lulav, what malacha is involved with picking up a lulav? What activity that otherwise would be a Torah violation is involved if you say that the Torah is allowing the picking up of the lulav? It's the rech krali mishri tiltul. Do I need a pasuk to allow mere movement? Mere movement doesn't involve a Torah level violation that I should require pasuk power to overrule it. Elo lemachshirov. This is the source for Rebbe Lozer. The machshirov, which are the preparatory stages which do involve malachos, which involve isur doraisas, in order to make an allowance for something that otherwise would be forbidden, I need posuk power for that. So it's from here that Rebbe Lozer sees that even the cutting off of a lulav on Shabbos would be allowed. Verabonan, that don't allow the dechia, the overriding of the machshirin. What do they do with the word bayom? So hahu meboyale, they need bayom velo balayla, that the mitzvah of lulav is by daytime hours and not at night. Rabbi Elazar b'yom v'lo b'layelo aminole. Where does Rabbi Elazar know that point from? Nafkalei mi usmachtem l'fnei Hashem elokechem shivas yomim, which means yomim v'lo leilos. From this other sukkis related pasuk, we learn that the taking of the lulav is done only by daytime hours and not at night. V'rabbanan. Now, according to the Rabbanan, we would now have two psukim telling me the same thing, that the lulav is by day and not by night. So what do they need the extra pasuk for? For Rabbanan, itzterich. The Rabbanan need an extra pasuk for day and not night. Salka daita chamina. If I had only one pasuk telling me about the lulav and it's being taken by yom, Salka daita chamina neilaf shivas yomim mi shivas yomim mi sukkah. We have this pasuk by lulav, which says, "Take usmachtem lefnei Hashem lekechem shivas yomim." There's also a shivas yomim pasuk in the context of the sukkah. So I would have thought, if I didn't have the extra pasuk, I would have thought, why not compare lulav to sukkah? Ma lahalon yomim vafilu leilos. In the case of a sukkah, it's something that applies or is binding by day and by night. Afkan, so too by lulav, yomim vafilu leilos. Lulav would be able to be performed at night as well. Komash malon, therefore I have the extra daytime pasuk to exclude that comparison, and that lulav applies only by day and not by night. The Gemara asks, V'lichtoiv rachmona b'lulav. According to Rebbe Elazar, that machshiri lulav are doiche Shabbos, let the Torah write that point by lulav, v'nesu hanoch v'nilfu minei, and let me then derive oimer and shtealechem from lulav, which is really not the case. We don't derive oimer and shtealechem from lulav. Oimer and shtealechem have their own source, that they're machshir and adoiches Shabbos. Why, though, is that the case? Let the Torah state the point by lulav, that the machshir and adoiches Shabbos, and I'll figure through logical comparison the oimer and shtealechem from lulav. Answer: Mishum deikla mifrach, because I can challenge that comparison logically. Ma lulav shekein ton ar bo minim. Lulav is more elaborate than oimer shteilchem, in so far as that lulav is a mitzvah made of four components: the lulav, the esrog, the adasim, and the arovas. So, being that lulav has that aspect that you don't have by the oimer and the shteilchem, I might have thought, had the Torah written that machshirei lulav v'dorcha Shabbos, I wouldn't have known that's the case by the oimer and the shteilchem. As you can see from this and many other examples in the Shas, when we have differences or significant differences between topics, that would prevent the logical comparison. And if you want to reach a conclusion anyway, you would have to have a pasuk to justify or to serve as a source. We continue with the next mitzvah, and as we said, the Gemara now will appear structurally to be very repetitive. Sukkah v'chom ashirel doichenes ha-shabbos divrei Rebbe Elazar. Sukkah and preparatory stages for it are also doiches Shabbos. Menolei l'Rebbe Elazar, from where does he know that? Imei oimeru shtei lechem. If you would try to learn sukkah from those mitzvahs, not so, I wouldn't be able to do that logically. Shekein tzorach gavohu, the omer shelechem are brought in the Beis Hamikdash, making them of special significance, and maybe only they would be doiches Shabbos, they and their machshirin. E mi lulav, and if you would try to learn sukkah from lulav, I wouldn't be able to derive sukkah from lulav either. True, lulav, I know the machshirin adoiches Shabbos, which we proved already from the pasuk by yom. But sukkah, I wouldn't be able to derive logically from lulav, shekein ton arba minim. The lulav is an elaborate mitzvah insofar it has four component parts. Not so the case of sukkah. So how am I to know that Sukkah and its Machshirin according to Rabbi Elazar are Deicha Shabbos? Ela Gomar Shivas Yomim Mishivas Yomim Milulav. I'm going to make a word comparison between Sukkah and Lulav. Ma lahalon machshirin doichin es haShabbos, just like in the case of Sukkah of Lulav, the machshirin doichin Shabbos, and you have the term shivas yomim. Af kan so too by Sukkah, nami machshirov doichin es haShabbos. By virtue of the shivas yomim expression that you have by Sukkah, I understand to compare it to Lulav. And again, that's a scriptural comparison to which we don't apply a logical objection. Question: why not have the Torah write the phenomenon of machshirin doiche by Sukkah and let me derive the other mitzvahs that we've stated till this point from Sukkah? Answer, Mishum Deiko Lemifrach, there is what to challenge, and I wouldn't be able to derive the others from Sukkah. Ma'ala Sukkah Shekeinei Heges B'Leilus V'Yomim K'B'Yomim. Sukkah has a unique feature to it in that it's binding and practiced, carries with it an obligation by day and by night, which is not the case regarding the Lulav nor the Omer and Shtei Alechem. They are brought by day only. And therefore, if I were to say that the Sukkah and Machshirin are Deicha Shabbos, I wouldn't be able to conclude the others from Sukkah. Matzah v'chol Machshirin are Deicha Nesha Shabbos, divrei Rav Elazar. Min ole the Rav Elazar ha. Im e'oymir shtei alechem. If you were to derive matzah from those mitzvahs, not so. Shekein tzorach gavoah. I milulav, not so either. Shekein ton arbo minim. I misukkah, I wouldn't be able to derive matzah from sukkah either. Shekein heges b'leilus k'yomim. The mitzvah of sukkah is binding by day and by night, which is not the case by matzah. Matzah is obligatory only the 14th of Nisan at night, as part of what we call the Leil HaSeder, the Seder night. So how am I to know that matzah and its machshirin, according to Rabbi Elazar, are Deicha Shabbos? Ela gomar chamisha asar, chamisha asar, mechag ha-sukkos. The Torah mentions that the sukkos begins on the 15th. Chamisha asar is the 15th of its month, of the month of Tishrei. And likewise, Pesach and matzah is to be performed the 15th of Nisan. So with the Torah reference to the Chamisha Asar in both of the mitzvahs, we compare one to the other. Ma lahalon machshir deichin es haShabbos. Just like by Sukkah, the machshirin are deichin es haShabbos. Af kan, so too by the matzah, machshireha deichin es haShabbos. Question: v'lichtei v'rachmona b'matzah v'nesu hanach v'ligmor minei. Let the Torah write that the machshirin of matzah are doiche Shabbos, and let me conclude the other mitzvahs from matzah. The Gemara says, no, I can't do that. Mishum deikol mifrach, I can challenge that attempt by saying that matzah is unique. Ma'ala matzah shekin eges b'noshim kibanoshim. Matzah is something that's binding upon women as well as men, which is not the case by the other mitzvos. Shofar v'chol machshir of deichin es haShabbos to Rabbi Elazar, mino le Rabbi Elazar ha. From where does Rabbi Elazar know that the machshirin of shofar deichin es haShabbos? Im e'omer she'alechem, no, shekein tzorach gavoah. Im lulav, no, shekein ton arbo aminim. Im sukkah, no, shekein noheges b'leis k'v'yomim. Imi matzah, no, shekein oheges b'noshim ki b'anoshim, which is not the case by shofar, even though many women have the practice of going to shul to listen to the shofar blowing or have men blow the shofar for them. Nevertheless, they are not obligated. That might be a minhag amongst the women, but they are not obligated. So I can't derive shofar and its machshir d'chol Shabbos from matzah either. Ela Omar Kro, Yoim Shuo Yelochem, B'Yom equals afilu b'Shabbos. Shofar is done even on Shabbos. Ulamai, what aspect of shofar is the Torah telling me do it even on Shabbos? If it's with reference to the actual blowing of the shofar, I don't need a pasuk to allow that. That would be allowed anyway on a Torah level. Ha Tana Debei Shmuel, the Yeshiva of Shmuel taught the following source. The pasuk says regarding Shabbos and Yom Tov, Melechas Avoda, you're not allowed to do. To the exclusion of the blowing of a shofar or the removal of bread from the walls of an oven, shehi chokhma v'eino malacha. Those, and we have to specify here, the tkiya shofar, the blowing of the shofar is not a malacha. It's not something that's prohibited by the pasuk of kom lechas avoda lo sasu. It's not prohibited. Being that it's not prohibited, the pasuk that says shofar overrules Shabbos, it's not regarding the blowing of the shofar, which isn't a function of overruling. Elo lemachshirin. Rather, we're talking about the making of the shofar, the preparation of the shofar, which involves real malachas. When you make a vessel, you are otherwise violating the malach of makeh v'patish. And the Torah is saying, anyway, according to Rebbe Lozer, as his understanding is, make the shofar anyway. V'rabbonan, the Rabbonan who don't learn like Rebbe Lozer, what do they learn from the pasuk Yom Tshuah Yelechem? So, ahu miboya lei v'yoyim v'la b'layla. They need the pasuk to tell me the mitzvah of shofar is done by day and not at night. Rebbe Lozer b'yoyim v'la b'layla. Where does Rebbe Lozer learn that from? After all, Rebbe Lozer needed Yom Tshuah Lechem for his halacha, so it's a pasuk that's already used for another purpose. So, nafka lei mi b'yoyim ha'kipurim taviru shofar b'chol artzachem v'gamri mehadodi. The pasuk, the Gemara just quoted, Yom HaKippurim is a reference to the Yovel year, the 50th year, which is sometimes known as the Jubilee year. There is a shofar blowing then. And in that pasuk it says, B'yom HaKippurim, the blowing of the shofar is done by day, and Rebbe Lozer will learn day and not night from the shofar blowing of the Yovel year, which is done on Yom Kippur, and compare that to shofar of Rosh Hashanah to tell me that it's blown by day and not by night. Question. Let the Torah write, according to Rebbe Lozer, that the machshirin of shofar doicha Shabbos, let me derive all the other mitzvahs from shofar. The Gemara says we won't be able to do that. Mitkiyah shofar Rosh Hashanah lekol migmar, from the fact that the machshirin of a Rosh Hashanah shofar, Ardech Shabbos, I can't learn the other mitzvahs. Shekein machneses zichrinus Yisrael avim shebashamayim. The shofar of Rosh Hashanah is a special power, in that it arouses the merits and the memory of the Jewish people unto the Almighty. So there's a special feature that shofar has. So maybe it's because of that that it's machshir in adoich Shabbos, and that special feature is not found by the other mitzvos. Mitkiyas shofar diyom kippur mekol migmri. Likewise, from the blowing of the shofar on Yom Kippur, that it's machshirin adoich Shabbos. I can't learn from that either to the other mitzvos. The Omer Mar Toku based in shofar niftar avodim lebotem sodas chozros lebalem. The shofar blowing of Yovel signifies the freeing of slaves. If you had Avodim Eved Ivri whose ear had been bored and he works till the Yovel year, he now goes free. And properties that had been sold, inheritance properties that had been sold, are now returned to their original owners. So that's a special feature that is associated with the shofar blowing of Yom Kippur, which you don't have by the other mitzvahs, and therefore it wouldn't be sufficient for the Torah to write that the machshirei shofar of Yom Kippur our Deuches Shabbos and expect me to learn from that to other mitzvos. Milo v'chomach shira deuches Shabbos de Rebbe Elazar minale the Rebbe Elazar ha. From where does Rebbe Elazar know that the machshirei mila are deuches Shabbos? I mikulhu gomar. If he learns from any one of the other mitzvos, de amrinon, I would state a pircha like we've done already regarding each one of those mitzvahs. Each one of those mitzvahs has their own unique chumrah, as Rashi says, and putting each one in a class by itself. So I wouldn't be able to derive milah from any one of those mitzvahs. Kidamrinon means as we stated. The Oid, furthermore, ma lahanoch Shekain, and we continue at the top of Kuf Lamed Beis Amud Aleph, Shekain Im Ovar Zmana Botla. The other mitzvahs are, we'll call them very pressing, that if the time to perform them passes, if you didn't blow the shofar on Rosh Hashanah, there's no more chance to blowing the shofar. If you didn't take the lulav on the first day of Sukkot, so you blew your chance to fulfill lulav midoraisa. And likewise with matzah and the lulav. So, and Sukkah being a mitzvah during the 7 days of Sukkot, once the time passes, that's it. Which is not the case with regard to the milah, to the circumcision, where it's true the Torah designates the eighth day of the child's life for that mitzvah, but nevertheless, we know that if a person didn't do it on time, he still can perform the mitzvah later. Elohainu taimo de Rebbe Eliezer. Then the question is, what is the basis of Rebbe Elazar and his din regarding the milah that the machshir are deuches Shabbos? The Omar Kra, the pasuk says, "Uvayom hashmini yimol b'sar oloso," and the word "uvayom" means "vafilu b'Shabbos." The Gemara asks, "V'lichtoiv rachmana b'milah?" Let the Torah write that the machshirei milah are deuches Shabbos, v'leisu hanoch v'ligmor minei, and let me derive the other mitzvos from milah. No, I wouldn't be able to do that. Mishum de'ikol mifrach mala milah shekein nihusolel shalosh esrei brisos. When you look in the Torah, in the parsha of the milah in Sefer Bereishis, you'll notice that there are 13 references to a covenant that was made regarding or over this particular mitzvah. Being that milah has this unique significance in that 13 references to a bris or a covenant were made, maybe milah is something that stands out on its own, and therefore I wouldn't be able to derive other mitzvos that their machshirin are deuches Shabbos from the fact that the machshirei milah are deuches Shabbos. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.